Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
Don't worry. Good morning, church. Yeah, let's try it again. So there's a lot this week. I was chatting to my students and I was talking about trying to create a culture of kindness, a culture of speaking light. Culture of be positive, be kind to people, you know, kind of thing. So I was saying to them, you know, we live in a world today where so many things come against us to put us down. You know, like people want money. So like things go around saying, well, you aren't skinny enough, or your car isn't good enough, or your income isn't good enough. And then you have to do this. You have to buy this. You have to pay for this to be better. And I was like, no. You're amazing the way you are. So let's think of a few adjectives. Let's practice speaking light, you know? The first down that goes out. So the boy looks at me, he goes, can you guys add? I'm like, give me adjectives. Give me creative words. He goes, Mr. Lawrence, you're tired. And I was like, yeah, we can all attest to that. We got tired. It's a good start. And as you went on, students were like spectacular, amazing, astonishing. So for this morning, good morning, unique, a wonderful, special, amazing church. Good morning. Good to see you. Zavi, we're discussing the book of Daniel. The slides there. Thank you. Yeah. So we're getting to Daniel. And is it there? There we go. There we go. That's me. Yeah, thank you. The title is Who I Am, Who Am I in Christ? And we're going to look at how Nebuchadnezzar was humble. We're going to look at how his son was humble as well. And we're just going to discuss who we are in Christ. The man's pride and sense of self-importance will bring him down. But he who has a humble spirit will obtain honor. On that note, can we just pray, please? Jesus, we worship you, Father. Father God, I've come before you this morning, Father, and I pray that you would speak to everyone's heart this morning, Father. I pray, Father God, if you would speak through me, that you bring your word to life. I pray, Father God, that you would anoint your word. I pray, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you would take your word and speak in individual words to every single person sitting here this morning, Father. I thank you for you, Father God, that your word brings life. I thank you, Father God, that your word brings healing. Your word brings restoration. Your word breaks heavy yokes. Your word breaks strongholds. Your word revives us. Your word brings healing to our body, spirits, our souls. And Father God, this is not a public speaking event. I'm not the biggest fan of public speaking. I really like it very much. But my heart is to love your people and to see your people free, Father God. And this is about Jesus. This is about your church. It's by reaching the lost with the gospel of Christ. It's about the time you're living in where there's a desperate need for Jesus, a desperate need for his word. And Father, so I was coming for you and I pray that you'd use me this morning, Father, to share your word. I pray that you'd speak through me. I thank you that your word in my mouth is as powerful as your word in your mouth. I thank you for love to shine through. I thank you that love builds up where the lesser kills. Joy, that love would come through and build people up and bring freedom and bring life and bring hope, bring encouragement, Father. I thank you, Father God, your presence in the building now. In Jesus' name, Father God, I take authority over every single plan, scheme, and strategy of the enemy against service, against your word. I bind Jesus' name. And the fearless plans now and void in the name of Jesus. I'm submitting to God, resisting the enemy. He walked you. Bless you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I was torn between two thoughts. Who am I in Christ? Who I am in Christ? And what is your heart song? What is the song of your hearts? Where is our, because the heart of the matter is the matter of our hearts, right? So, I'm not going to read the both chapters for the sake of time, but I'd like to encourage you to spend some time in Daniel. If you aren't already doing this, doing the series, spend some time meditating on the word, spend some time chewing on the word, spend some time thinking about the word. Remember, when you spend time with Jesus, it's not about sort of work. It's not like I read 17 chapters, fantastic, you know, I hit the checkpoints. It's about quality time with your Lord. You know, so you can spend 20 hours with your wife or your husband. If you don't connect, what's the point? But you can spend 5 minutes with your spouse. If you connect, if your hearts connect, you know, those are your children. I have two little kids, been sick the last 2 weeks. Okay, if Kirsten and I get 5 minutes just to connect, it means way more than 20 hours just around each other, but there's no connection, right? So with Christ, it has to be the same. So when you guys spend time with Jesus, it has to be a heart connection. It has to be intimacy. You know, into me see. Into me see. The greater glimpse of Christ we see, the greater our lives change. You know, so in Daniel chapter 4, we have Nebuchadnezzar. And I love the way Nebuchadnezzar starts. He says this. He says, God humbles, God exalts. He says, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and people of every language that live on the earth, may you greatly prosper. May you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders of the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs. How mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream. He had a dream about a tree, a mighty, huge tree. And a messenger came out from heaven, came down and spoke to the tree to be removed. And it speaks about how bronze and iron were around the stump, and the stump would stay. You know, sometimes you and I go through really tough times in this world. You know, the new heaven, the new earth will come, and that'll be amazing, and our hearts long for the new heaven, the new earth. But while we journey through this life, God wants us to enjoy our life. He wants us to enjoy it. Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. There are times that we go through tough times. And if you know anything about iron, when you mix iron with something, it makes it stronger, right? So Nebuchadnezzar came out of his trial stronger. God humbled Nebuchadnezzar. I'm sure many of us here can put our hands up and say, yes, God has humbled me too. I know I'm the first saint to go up. I didn't grow up as a Christian. I was humbled. I had to, the same as Nebuchadnezzar, I had to give him my needs to Jesus. I'm sorry, I repent, I need you in my life. I'm sure many of us here became Christians. We humbled ourselves, repented of our sin. And if you're anything like me, there are many times since I gave my life to Christ where I've had to humble myself. Many times. With this pride in my heart, Jesus, I'm sorry. So I look at the story and I see a lot of Nebuchadnezzar in my own life. I wish I saw more Daniel. And I aspire to be like Daniel. But there are many times in my life where, like Nebuchadnezzar, I had to humble myself in a bit. And he did. And when he came out the other end, the iron made it stronger. So it's a metaphor. So you and I need to humble ourselves before Christ like that stump. And we need to allow our trials to make us stronger in Christ. Isaiah says, my soul entered the iron. And I'm pretty sure those of you who are sitting here today have been through tough times where you had to humble yourself before Jesus. Humble yourself before God. See God. As your soul came closer to Christ, as you became less in those moments, and Christ became more in your right, that your soul entered the iron, and the Holy Spirit made you stronger. And today you are stronger than what you were in your trial. You don't smell like smoke, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that came out the trial. They didn't smell like smoke anymore, right? There's no nothing left, there's nothing on them, nothing hung on them through their trial. Because of Christ, the victory, victorious. Because of Christ, they were free. Because of Christ, they were stronger. But there needs to be the humility. So Nebuchadnezzar came out of his trial, and this was his heart song. God is great. Sadly for Nebuchadnezzar, and gratefully, God loved him. God loved him, and God gave him a chance to repent. So he had this dream. He called all the advisors around and said, please explain the dream to me, and they couldn't. Finally, he called Daniel. And Daniel came to him, and Daniel explained the dream to him. Okay, so this is where God wants us to be. Honoring God, loving God and people, telling his wonders, preaching the gospel. Can we go to the next one? Okay, so Daniel finally explained the dream to him. What I love about Daniel is Daniel honored him. If you read Daniel's response to Nebuchadnezzar was very different to Daniel's response to his son. He said, "Your Majesty saw a holy one." But he says in verse 19, "My Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries, the tree you saw was huge." So the dream he had about him, about this tree being cut down and destroyed, was what God was going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar if he didn't repent. You know, so God used Jonah. And Jonah was people of Nineveh and preached the gospel. They're evil people. They repented. And God had mercy on them, forgave them, didn't destroy them. God spoke to Noah. Noah addressed the people. Nobody repented. You know, so God is merciful. God wants people to be saved. How do you not know that? Jesus, his death, his resurrection. God wants people to follow him. He made a way for us all to follow Christ. And we see it throughout the Word of God. Nebuchadnezzar at this point did not humble himself. But remember, God has an eternal perspective. So Nebuchadnezzar says, his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. So Nebuchadnezzar, after his repentance, what happened was 12 months later, he's walking around and he thinks to himself, "Look at me, look how successful I am." Okay, I don't know if any of us have experienced that. We're like, "Look at me, look at my nice car, I'm doing so well." You don't have to be the richest person in the world, like Nebuchadnezzar was, the most powerful person in the world, like Nebuchadnezzar was, to be proud and arrogant. You can have barely anything and be proud and arrogant. It's a heart attitude, right? The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Okay? And he was humbled, and for 7 years he lived like a madman. He lived in the forest, it says he ate grass, he lived like an animal. Finally, after 7 years, he repented. It says he turned to heaven, he repented, and he gave his life back to God. It says, at the end of the time, in verse 34, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanctuary restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases. With the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth, no one can hold back his hand. We'll say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my sanctuary restored, my honor has been restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out. I was restored to my throne, and I became even greater than before." God cares about you. God loved Nebuchadnezzar. He humbled himself. He humbled himself before the Most High God. He gave his life to God. He was restored. God cares about your eternal life. He cares about eternity. That's what he cares about. He loves you enough, but he sees eternity. Jesus gave his life for you and I. He spent our lives with him for eternity. God will do it. God pursues you every single day of your life until you repent and receive Christ and walk with him. That's his heart. At the end of the day, though, it's your my choice. The Ninevites with Jonah repented. Nebuchadnezzar repented. People in Noah's day did not repent. Nebuchadnezzar's son did not repent. That was their choice. It doesn't change that God loved them the same. Right? So this year ended up being Nebuchadnezzar's heart song. And my challenge to you throughout this message today is, what is your heart song? Where is your heart at to this? That's my challenge to myself. Yes. When I study in this, same questions are asked of me. Where's my heart, Jesus? Where's my heart? You know? So we have the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in the tree. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in a step with the wicked, or stand in the way with sinners, or take or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate in his law day and night." These people are like trees planted by streams of water, which yields their fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prosper. So God often uses the analogy of a tree for people. Nebuchadnezzar was a great tree. That's what God wants. He wants you and I to be like trees, planted in his word, planted in the church, planted in worship and relationship with Jesus. And he wants us to grow, mature, so we can help other people. so we can love people. Nebuchadnezzar was like that. And if you read the chapter before in your own time, it talks about how birds and animals would come and find shelter under the tree. But it became arrogance. It rejected God. It said, it's me, I did this. And so he was humble. But after he was humble, and after he gave his life back to God, what happened? God made him greater than before. And he's left the kingdom. He was comfort. Yeah, he was able to comfort and help more people. That's God's heart for you and I. Obviously in the context of the day. But for you and I, God wants us to be like trees, like Psalm 1 says, planted in streams of water, growing, and being able to help other people and love other people. So earlier, John and I spoke about being generous and tithing and offering it. We need to carry that into Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where Jesus is not a part-time lover of our souls, but Jesus is our Lord and King every single day.
Yes.
And we go and love people every single day. And we are like Psalm 1, that we grow and mature as believers, and we love people, and we are good to people, and we are kind to people, and we are witnesses for Christ, humble, rooted in Him, drawing people to His kingdom. God wants us to be like a tree, providing, blessing, and giving to others, but rooted in His word, our identity in Christ. Then we have the hand. So Nebuchadnezzar passed away, and his son Belshazzar became the new king. So he decided to go and take all the mugs and cups and cutlery and crockery and everything from that used to be in God's temple in Israel. And he decided to have a feast with it. That's how arrogant and proud he was. He decided, you know what, who's this God? He took all this stuff. With 1,000 people, a thousand of nobles, or his nobles, drank with him. And while they were drinking with their wives and their concubines and all that kind of thing, they started to praise the gods of silver and bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So both are proud. Pride reveals stuff in different ways. I mean, I remember speaking to some people, like people on the streets. Like, how can I help you? Like, why did you come to church? Oh, no, I don't need God. Dude, like, you're nothing. I don't need God. Look at me, you know, I'm doing walls. I'm like, you're a homeless champ. You're a homeless man. Like, you know? My point is, pride can be in anyone's heart. Doesn't matter how rich you are. You can be the most powerful guy in the world. You can be poor. It doesn't matter who you are. Pride and arrogance are an issue of the hearts. And that's where God's going. The matter of the hearts of the matter is the matter. I'll say 1,000 is the matter of the hearts. Our hearts need to be wholeheartedly Christ's. You know, so suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand. The king watched as the hand wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees started knocking. The king summoned the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners and said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around their neck, and he'll be made third highest ruler in the kingdom." No one could interpret what the hand said. Finally, the queen came down after all this noise, because these 1,000 people are freaking out. I can believe that. I mean, if you're just a human hand appear in front of you while you're having a party, you're really like full of alcohol and, you know, whatever. Suddenly a hand appears and like writes on the wall. I mean, they're freaking out, right? So the queen comes down and she's like, "What is going on?" She sees the writing. The king says, this happened. Or someone says to her, this happened. She says, "It's okay. Call Daniel. He'll sort out." You know, Daniel comes. Daniel interprets. What struck me though, while I was spending time on this chapter, was Daniel's response. Curious, the next one, Matt. Explain. Okay. There we go. So Daniel's response to Nebuchadnezzar was gentle. You know, it was obviously, I believe that God gave him like the word of knowledge or by the Holy Spirit, he knew where Nebuchadnezzar was. "My Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies." So Daniel relied on the wisdom of God. And you don't need to rely on the wisdom of God and witnessing to people and sharing the gospel to people. And his response to Nebuchadnezzar was caring, wishing it wasn't him. Whereas Daniel's response, yes, my book should be Belshazzar, it should be Belshazzar. Daniel's response to Belshazzar was straightforward, and he almost scolded his behavior. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Okay, the next one. Okay, Yeah, so he says this. He says, you may keep your gifts through wars with someone else. Nevertheless, I will interpret rightly for you, and I'll explain to you what it means. He says, your majesty, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and splendor and glory. Because of the high position he gave him, all the nations and peoples of every language dreaded to fear him. Those the king wants to put to death, he puts to death. Those he wants to spare, he spared. Those he wants to promote, arrogant and hardened with pride. He was deposed from his royal throne. So he says, when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal, his throne stripped. He liveth wild donkeys and ate grass like an ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms on the earth and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, Belshazzar, his son, have not humbled yourself. Though you knew all this, so he's like almost scolding. You saw what happened to your dad. You were there. You saw for 7 years how your dad lived. Some people say to me, you know, like, why isn't Jesus just doing massive miracles right now than I believe? I think his God knows the heart of people. Jesus rose from the dead. We have like thousands of witnesses. We have witnesses. We have historical records. The resurrection of Christ in the New Testament is the most documented historical thing in history. People still don't believe. You know, so it's like Balthazar saw this, but he didn't believe. But you, Balthazar, you saw this. You were there. You went through this with your own dad. But you have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the garbage from his temple brought to you. And you and your nobles, your wives and concubines, drank wine from it. You praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which can't see or hear or understand. But you do not honor the God who holds you and holds your life in all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand and wrote, Mene Tekel Peres, God has humbled the days of your reign and brought it to an end. You have been weighed in the scales and found wanting. Your kingdom divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. I have to wonder if Balthazar didn't repent right there, if God would have forgiven him. I believe he would, because I personally can. Why? Because that's what the Bible does, throughout the Genesis to Revelation. You know, when they repent, they're forgiven. So we have King Saul. God says to King Saul, okay, destroy this people. All of it. I was the command. A couple of days later, Samuel gets there. He says, what is that? What do I hear there, Saul? Saul says, what do you mean? What do you hear? He said, I'm sure I hear like cows bleat, whatever, mooing and sheep bleating. And why do I hear this? And Samuel says, what is this, Saul? And who is this? And Saul says, oh, that's the king. I think it was of Palestine. Could be wrong. It is the king. Eh? What? Amalek, that's it. Thank you so much. Amalek, is it? Why is he alive? Why do I hear the cattle? And Saul says, I can't. And Samuel says, but the command was, destroy everything this time. You disobey God. He says, the kingdom will be taken away from you and give it to another. At that point, Saul doesn't repent before God. Saul grabs Samuel's throne. My mistake. Saul first grabs Samuel's throne. His robe, up it. And he said, please. I think he said, don't tell the people. Something like this. And Samuel turns and rips. And then Samuel says, we'll be taken away from you the way it rips. So Saul didn't repent. Belshazzar didn't repent. Nebuchadnezzar repented. He didn't repent. He didn't say, I'm sorry if I repent. He didn't run to Jesus first. Right? He lost the kingdom. David messed up. King David had an adulterous affair and murdered the woman's husband. Had him murdered. When Prophet Nathan came to him and said, David, what have you done? Did David respond like Belshazzar and like Saul? No. You know who David ran to first? He ran straight to the throne. David ran straight to the throne. He hit the floor and he said, God, I've messed up big. And he repented. We've seen the story here. God wants our hearts, right? He wants our hearts. David repented. Nebuchadnezzar repented. When Jonah preached to the Ninevites, they repented. Their heart, they ran to Jesus first. And you and I mess up when we see arrogance and pride in our hearts. When we see our hearts, when God challenges us to people, all through His Word, or by His Spirit, before convicted, run to the throne first. Then run to the phone if you need to. Run to the throne, get your heart right with God. If you need help, the church is there. Run to the throne, then run to the phone if you need to and get help. But humble yourself and repent. Seek God. Okay. Okay, can we go back to space right now?
Sure.
Okay. There, Daniel. Now, so we have example of Nebuchadnezzar. What can you relate to Nebuchadnezzar's life? Nebuchadnezzar became arrogant, proud, like many others do. Nebuchadnezzar went through a challenging time. God, whatever it took in his life to bring him back to God for eternity, he repented. Whether he pursued God alone or whether he carried on worshiping other gods, I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he did, I don't know. He needs to pursue Jesus alone. We know that, right? Belshazzar didn't repent. It says, literally a verse later, then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple and gold, all this stuff. But that very night, the king of the Babylon, he was slain. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. That very night he was killed. He was murdered. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. Daniel, a person that I look at, like Joseph and Paul and Peter and all these guys, and I'm like, no, these are guys I want to be like Jesus. He had a spirit of excellence. Daniel's response to everything was humility. He had a spirit of excellence. God focused in the midst of trauma, slavery. He lived a different country. He was discriminated against. He faced persecution. His friends were thrown into a furnace. He was thrown into a lion's den. He was in a kingdom where that was idolatrous. He was in a kingdom where he was told, if you don't worship the statue, you will be killed. Remember that Daniel wasn't here voluntarily. And he was probably persecuted, discriminated against, spoken down to, treated as less than. But Daniel focused on God. And he found his identity in who God said he was, not people. In his heart, in his mind, he was a son in the kingdom of heaven. He was not a slave or a less than Jew, less than the Babylonians, less than the Medes and the Persians. I know I could relate to that sometimes. Funny story. I saw it in Saudi Arabia. I saw it in Abu Dhabi. I see it in Kuwait sometimes. People see me as this tall white guy. And they go, American. So every night and I start talking, now what American? Where are you from, Australia? So I start talking a bit more, we chat a bit, you know, and they're like, and a lot of people are like, they see my face, they're like, from South Africa? I'm like, yeah, from South Africa. You can see their faces are like, oh, okay. You know, like initially you're a tall white guy, you're super cool, you're American. Now suddenly I've gone down. Now I'm South African, you know. They'll go, yeah, but my mom's from England. I have a British passport. Ah, English, London. Yeah. That you're cool. You know what I'm saying? I've experienced that so many times. And I remember taking a big hit. Like my self-image took a bit of a hit in Saudi because with my wife and I, first time I was in South Africa and we were working in Saudi Arabia and we were there on South African passports. So I wasn't there on my English passports. My wife wasn't there on the Italian passports. We were there on South African passports. And the school we worked for was one of the top 3 or 4 schools in Jeddah. It was a pretty good school. They paid really well. But I found that my wife and I found out, all the Africans found out, that we were paid less. And they're like, why are we being paid less? Because you're South African. I'm like, thanks for that. You know, but don't all of us have the same qualifications? Some of the South Africans are way more qualified. There were 2 or 3 ladies there who were like, I think they wrote university textbooks. I mean, that's how qualified they were. No. And this is a British curriculum school. So those from England are paid the most because they're English. Then the Canadians, like, they're still kind of part of the Commonwealth, right? So they get paid pretty, they are fair, right? And then in the Irish, or it is the Irish, right? They get paid a bit less. And the Americans get paid a bit less. You know, you South Africans, you Southern Hemisphere people, like South Africans, Australia, New Zealanders, you're on the pay scale, you're down there. And I was like, dude, that's pretty harsh, man. You know? But Daniel went through that, right? I think sometimes, I don't know about you, I have looked at Daniel, this guy's amazing. Wow. And I started rethinking about his life and then reading about his life. He was a slave. you know, Babylonians went to Israel, conquered Israel, killed thousands of people from Israel, and dragged these people as slaves. Daniel was a slave. Imagine if Daniel found his identity of being a slave. I'm pretty sure many of us in this room today have had people speak down to us. Maybe because of gender, skin color, like me and my South African passport versus my British passport, my accents. I'm sure many of us have been spoken down to or treated less than because of a thousand different things. Nationality, passports, you know. I know in South Africa, for example, if you're South African, if you're a South African black person, you're treated one way. As soon as you come from Central Africa to South Africa, you are treated really badly. Like xenophobia is huge in South Africa. So that discrimination has nothing to do with skin color, but everything to do with your passport, citizenship, and nationality, right? Discrimination, sadly, in this broken world happens for many, many, many different reasons. I'm pretty sure all of us sitting here today have been discriminated against for some reason. And it should never happen. And thank God, in the new heaven, the new earth, it's not going to happen. Thank God for that, right? But the things I've had to struggle with, I'm like, God, why? Like, I go and coach football. And these kids look at me, this player, like 19, whatever, 19, 20 years old, look at me. And they're like, ah, tall white guy with a British passport. This guy knows football. Premier League. Whoa. I start talking. Where are you from? I'm South Africa. I grew up in South Africa. Oh, man. You know? And I'm like, I'm still a good coach. You know, like I'm coach 20 years. You know, I made history as a coach. Like, that's the way I feel. I'm like, but that's, you know? You know, over time, you earn the respect as they see you're a decent coach. But the fact that you judged because of your accents, you know, like, so we need to find our identity in Christ. We need to remind ourselves that you are special, that you are who you are because God planned that. You are born where you are born for a purpose. You are born at this time for a purpose. You are born with your name, your skin color, your nationality, your passport, your accents. Everything about you is for a purpose. And it is amazing. Why? Because the one who holds the universe in the palm of his hand says so. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what the creative boss says. It doesn't matter what the rich Saudi says. It doesn't matter what some guy in America says or South Africa says or England says. It doesn't matter if the most powerful man in this world says something negative about you because of where you come from. It doesn't matter. Why? Because the creator of the universe says different. And what he says matters. Is his voice is what matters. Right? So you'll always value yourself based on the most important person in your life. You and I, as human beings, we find our identity in the most important person in our lives. When that person is a human being, when that person has an off day, he gives a bit of a funny look, you're crushed. But when your identity is found in your Heavenly Father, it never changes. It never changes. You become more stakes. As a parent, that's super important. That's something I very struggle with as well, because I need to be stable for my kids and my wife, right? So I need to find my identity in God. Not the way I was treated at work that day. Not the way my boss treats me, or the way the person at the robot just cut me off again in Kuwait. Like, you know, come on, dude. You know, so your identity needs to be found in God. And when you find your identity in God, you go back one minute. Arms once. Let your Heavenly Father be the most important person in your life. Let your Heavenly Father, let that be your Heavenly Father. He invites you to treat the lies of hell with the words of heaven. He invites you to treat the lies of hell with the words of heaven. I can't claim that. It was Max Licata this week. I love Max Licata. I read one of his devotionals and he is like, I thought that was so good. He invites you to treat the lies of hell with the words of heaven. We have all been treated like Daniel at times. Discriminated against, made you feel less than by those who see themselves as better. Race, passport, education, gender, appearance, good looking, not good looking, whatever. What the world says is good looking, which changes all the time. Profession, accents, surname, class, wealth. These experiences can leave a hint of smoke. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the films. And inferiority mindsets were complex. We put walls around us key brothers out because they're afraid of being hurt, but we get trapped in these walls of rejection. They get lonely. We start to treat ourselves as less than. Remember Daniel, he allowed God to raise him up and live for the kingdom amidst trauma, brokenness, discrimination. Allow God to make you whole and restore you. Daniel fulfilled his purpose under four different kings and was abundantly blessed in the midst of challenges and difficulties. Thanks, man. Okay, you are God's child. Let this lead the slave mentality in your old life of sin and death. Under the water, at the foot of the cross. God has you for a purpose. Find your identity in Christ. Love the word of God. Fellowship with God. Daily walk with Christ. Treasuring his word in your heart. Let the word of God uproots rejection. Let the word of God uproots brokenness. Let the word of God uproots lies from the enemy and this world. Let the word of God get into you, your spirit and your soul, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, and renew your mind and find freedom as you root out the lies of the enemy and the identity of this world and get yourself rooted in the word of God and in Christ. Okay, life is in the word. Life is in the word. As you find life, okay. Daniel prayed 3-4 times a day. He humbled himself. He pursued God. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Daniel. You think that more time? Daniel ran a country. He was busy, but he made time for God. If you're too busy to spend time with God, you are too busy. It's like Jamila was saying, when we tithe, we say, God, I trust you to bless me with X amounts. So then we're 85% instead of 100%, Jamila X. When you honor God with your time, he will honor you and he'll help you. We need to spend time with God in his word. We need to. It can't be second, third, you know. It needs to be a priority. And if you honor God with your time, he will honor you. And he will help you. And he'll make a way for you to do your job. Find time with your wife and kids and husband and family and work, everything else you need to do. Daniel was a very busy man. He ran an entire kingdom. You know, so like but he found time with God. Seek your father's heart. Be grateful for you made you to be. Once again, Psalm 1. We need to be rooted in the word and in Christ. And as we grow, by the powers to bless others. Okay? True humility is simply knowing you are in Christ. Sometimes you try and be humble. Instead of being humble, we have an inferiority complex. We break ourselves down. That's all God wants. God wants you to... True humility is simply knowing you are in Christ. Okay. There's my number. 5 minutes, 3-4 minutes later. Okay. Okay. In Christ, we know God desires to lead. Next one. Declarations. Okay, I ask that everyone just repeat this after me. I am God's child in Christ, according to the good pleasure of your will. I am chosen by you, my Father. I am beloved of God and accepted in the beloved. I am a new creation. I am forgiven, holy, and without blame by his blood. I am accepted. I am loved. God loves me. I am a co-heir with Christ and an heir of God. I am blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
I am redeemed to the blood of Christ. I am holy without blame. I am saved by your grace.
Saved.
I am your workmanship.
You very much.
Next one. Thanks for your last now. Okay. What is your heart song, church? The finish off today. What is your heart song? This was Nebuchadnezzar's heart song after everything he went through. God loves you. 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 What is your heart song? Let the love of God build you up. Let the love of God show you how to be humble. Everything in the previous page is who you are in Christ. Outside of Christ, we are nothing. We are dust balls of sin. In Christ, we are everything we just read. We are everything the word of God tells us we are. We are God's sons and daughters. We are not where we are treated sometimes. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, with plan and purpose. What is your heart song today? Thanks a lot. Next slide, Max. This is what your Father wants. He wants to walk with you every day. What is your heart song? What is your response to his word? What is your response to Jesus' word? Are we going to walk in repentance and love and walk with our Father every day, rooted in Him, impacting His kingdom? Or we'd be like Belshazzar, have a hard heart. To finish off, let's all of us agree. We'll humble ourselves, repent before God, find our identity in Christ, and have an impact for His kingdom. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate you. Love you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoet.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.